Welcome, WC students and alumni and professors. I'm Joseph Silver. Today I'm interviewing
Jennifer Bernshausen.
Jennifer, can you kind of tell me what you do and kind of, you know, your background and how you ended up here in Germany?
Sure. I'm the general manager of Macaroni Grill. I've worked here for 10 years. I've been GM'd for three. Started as a bartender, came over in 2009 as a training team to open the restaurant where I worked in the States with Macaroni Grill for 3 years prior to that.
Okay. So how long have you actually lived here in Germany then?
10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Okay, so yes. You worked there. Okay. Yeah. So that's awesome. You got a lot of progression. How did you, is that normal working in at that time, or did you have to do something kind of beyond that, or like how did I do that?
Yeah. At that time, Macaroni Grill had about 270 restaurants. And to be an on-the-road trainer, you had to fill out an application, which I didn't even know that existed until our regional training manager was like, hey, you would be a good fit.
Okay.
So apply. So out of thousands of applicants, I was chosen to come.
That's
and be
awesome.
Part of that team.
What do you think set you apart on that?
Probably my natural ability to take leadership.
Okay.
With Macaroni Grill, I started and then I was a bartender within 6 months and a trainer. And then I was development coordinator, which was lead trainer and coordinates all the new hires and stuff like that for their training.
Oh, so you've been hiring for a while then?
I haven't been hiring, but I've been part of the hiring process for about 8 years here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I've been training people for my whole career.
Okay. So where are you headed to after this?
I don't know. My contract was not extended, so I am out as of January, so I'm currently looking for a new job.
Gotcha.
So now I'm on the other side of the hiring process.
Gotcha. That's funny. So in your experience then, what are some of your key things you look for when trying to get like that, you know, kind of that A class, you know, higher? Like, how do you try to weed through the...
Sure. First impressions are definitely important. You know, in the restaurant industry, if someone comes in, say, during our busiest time of the day, asking if we're hiring or, you know, who the hiring manager is, you know, that doesn't fare very well. I still try and make time later in the day. Also, you know, how they present themselves, what their professionalism from the start is.
Okay.
You know, if they present themselves in casual weekend wear, like shorts and stuff, then that doesn't get off on the right foot.
So, like, even before you even start the hiring process, it's just like the first time, like, you're presented with human A.
This is my presentation. Let's see what else. Our hiring process here is a little bit different than it would be in the States. You know, we do have to fall under the 86 FSS unit, and we hire through our HRO program. And all of our applicants apply online first, and then our HRO unit goes through and scrubs that applicant list for eligible and...
So what are they looking for that are not looking for?
They're looking for qualified individuals. So we have position descriptions for all of our positions here.
Okay.
And so they look through the applicants' resumes and profiles to see if they meet those qualifications. And then what they'll do is they'll send us the list of applicants and they'll... You know, some will be ineligible, doesn't meet position descriptions, and those applicants are actually listed by hiring preference.
Okay.
Because we do fall under that, there's hiring preference, so you have your military spouses, family members, veterans preference, and then it goes down into transitional, and then NAF, current NAF employees, and then all others. So,
What is transitional?
I have no idea.
It never shows up. I have never
really gotten that far. so that makes it a little bit not difficult in hiring people, because we do have to look at all applicants equally. Mm-hmm. But if we have, for example, if we are looking to hire a manager here, and a military spouse were to apply that does have managerial experience, and then we also have another employee who's applying who has macaroni grill experience, we can justify hiring a non-military spouse because they have the corporate brand experience.
Okay, so they have the more relative experience.
They have experience over preference, and so it's easier to justify. So
okay, so it's not that much of a justification. You just have to have a reason.
Have a reason.
So do you guys still get to see like the non recommended ones through the HR office?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you still see
all of them. So the applicants, we see all their profiles and what they submit online, and I actually go through and look at those before I even get the list, just to kind of see which candidates I might be interested in. Especially with our cooks, because you do have to have experience to qualify. And so out of 6 applicants, we might have 2 that are qualified.
Oh, wow.
For example, this last time that our position was open, and only 1 was eligible to be hired. The other one was ineligible due to suitability. And suitability is passing the initial background check.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So for things like, they answer the questionnaire of past arrests and driving infractions and things like that. And so things that might not be suitable to hire is previous drug records and so that can be very tricky to get around. Typically, that won't even pass our tier 1 background check, and so they're ineligible to be
an employee.
Okay. Because we fall under the DOD. So.
No, that makes sense. So for the, you were talking earlier about the, you only have 2, experienced qualified individuals with the 6 slots. I heard this off. I was reading this one of our books. It was mentioning how, sometimes when you hire people with experience, what you're actually doing is you're hiring the people that your competition fired.
Right.
Or
that already have bad habits.
So how would you go about selecting individuals that don't have the relative experience, right? Or, has some of those ever been your best hires, coming
Absolutely.
With... how do you weed through that when somebody doesn't meet their traditional...
Traditionally, we do interview. So from that applicant list, we contact the qualified individuals or eligible individuals for interviews. I actually hopefully have some people coming in for interviews this morning.
A different type of interview.
A different type of interview. Yes. I'll be interviewing them.
The normal way, the way life correct. Should be.
Correct. Definitely asking about their past job experience. We have hired individuals that have no job experience, which sometimes are the better hires because you can teach them some good habits and they don't have any pre-existing knowledge of how a restaurant works. Mm. And then also, when I'm looking at those applications, another thing I look at is length of service in any one position. So if I see their job history and I see they work 6 months and then they go to another job and then maybe it's 9 months, and so there's really no longevity there, that sometimes poses a red flag.
Of course.
Why are they not able to stay at a job? Being in this area and working with the military, turnover is huge. We have so many people coming and going, but we also have those people like me who have been here that are self-sponsored and don't have an end date. And so here, turnover isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Okay.
Trying to weed through, looking at the basic information and then talking to them in person, asking them specific questions. I asked them why they left their last job, sometimes I ask if what they liked about their last job, trying to glean a little bit more of a positive side because everybody focuses on the negative. Also finding out what they are expecting from a job, you know, what kind of hours can we accommodate and can they accommodate our needs as far as scheduling and accountability.
That makes sense. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. So do you guys interview pretty much all of the applicants then?
We try to.
Okay.
Well, the ones that are sent through that are eligible to be hired.
Correct, of course. Not the, yes. You know.
Yes,
you can't even get on the base.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes, we try to hire as many people as we can. Right now, we're focused on our back of house. And because the cook position has, you know, that qualification you have to fall under, what we do is we hire an entry-level position of food service worker where they can earn that on-the-job training.
Okay.
And then they can apply for the cook position once they've reached that qualification.
What's the normal kind of wait time on that?
Well, you have to have a 6 months in a restaurant environment.
Oh, okay.
So as long as they've been here for 6 months and have good appraisal ratings, then we would ask them to apply. It does have to be competitive because of all the hiring preference here.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to reapply. So it can't just be, okay, now you're promoted to cook.
Oh, it's just like you're not eligible to reapply for what you actually wanted to do.
But now they can put on their, you know, on their job experience, Macaroni Grill from October until, I don't know, 6 months from now, and say, okay, now they fall under that qualification.
That makes sense. They have that exact experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a little bit different then. Do you guys have a pretty good working relationship with HRO then? And like,
yes, their systems are constantly changing and growing, so trying to become more efficient.
Okay.
And I think that's been one of the biggest struggles because you fall under all of the logistics of the military and trying to hire for more civilian type places, you know, it's a struggle. So a lot of email traffic.
Yeah. How has that worked in like difference in like a normal Macaroni Grill that
sure.
isn't instilled, you know, on a military base?
Sure. Hiring in the States, you know, on off base is pretty much you can interview, hire, and have them start working the next day.
Okay.
Here it's interview, select. They send initial selection information to the, you know, prospective employee, and then they fill out all of the background information, paperwork, and then 2 to 3 weeks later they get the actual job offer.
Oh, wow.
Which they can accept or deny, and then they can be scheduled, if they accept it, they can be scheduled for in-processing. So the process for a person to apply, interview, and to be hired can take up to a month.
Oh, wow. I mean, can you, like, kind of unofficially tell them, be like, hey, you don't need a job search anymore, you're good. Are you guys allowed to do that or not really?
We can't do that. We can't say you've got a job. I can say I would like to move forward with the selection process. Which I try to explain as best I could, which is the exact same way I just explained it.
Gotcha.
You know, because it is very lengthy, you know. You
exactly.
have fingerprints, background checks.
And that goes to the spouses, too. Like, already live on base?
Yep.
Oh, wow. So even though you already live on base.
Yep.
Okay.
Because you're entering a DOD
contract.
Contract.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I guess wasn't expecting that process to be quite so long. If you, like, you know, kind of found your perfect employee, it was like, please stay here.
Right.
And you're like, no,
right.
Watch him walk out the door.
Yeah.
And maybe
then,
he'll come back.
Another thing is, you know, with the applicant list is, you know, you might have qualified individuals, but they've already accepted another position because they've applied for every single job listed in the area.
Yeah.
Or you're not the only one job, you know. So it's a very
Have you found
applicant positive atmosphere?
So that's it. So you almost didn't have to like try to convince them to stay sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's a little different.
Yes. During the interview, I try to be as forthcoming as I can with how our facility is, and also, you know, be able to kind of sell us on why they should work here.
Yeah, that's not
choose us instead of another facility.
You don't need to. You don't need to work at the library. You'll get much better wages.
Don't go to youth and child services. Don't want to do that.
No.
We're way better.
So, kind of change the topic a little bit then. So when you're looking at, like, you know, you said you needed six cooks, right? Like, how, like, so are you the person then that kind of makes almost like the manning decisions on like slots, really? Not like the, not the faces, right? But the actual slots. And like how do you dictate like how many personnel you actually need?
That's been very tricky. We've been undermanned since we've reopened here in 2016. Just because there's no applicants for that position. But, you know, looking at, you know, the number of people we need to run the line at any given time, how many hours per day. We also have local national contracts that we have to meet. So they have to work a certain hour of, certain number of hours per week.
Okay.
And so I try and break that down to where everybody's working between 4 and 5 shifts. Eight-hour shifts.
Okay.
And then just look and see how many people that meets, and that we don't have that many.
So how do you accommodate for that then?
That means a lot of people are working 6 days a week, and so they're working overtime. We've also adjusted our scheduling to where we have. So, for example, for our frontline, we need the dream would be to have 6 people up there at any given time. But right now I have 4.
Okay.
And because we're undermanned, I have 3. One person is pre-setting up the other person's station. That person is coming in at 10 o'clock today. We'll work through the rush and work through the dinner. So
they have a break in the middle.
They'll have a break in the middle, and then be that other person, so we can cover all stations. And if we don't have that, then as managers, we step in and help.
Okay. So you're qualified then to do work most of all the positions.
Yeah, I know everything.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Do all the things. And there's a few things that I still, you know, I'm like, I kind of know it, but I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
So I look to the team members for guidance, and so it's kind of everybody's learning.
Okay. So what would you say, like, the minimum number of people you need here is?
Right now is where our minimum is at, and it's 65.
Oh,
our
wow.
Maximum would be 110. Like, the dream would be to have 110 people.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How many of your employees do you think enjoy the extra hours? Or pretty much all of them are like, please.
Some of them are really burnt out. Some of them really like the money because they do get shift differential and overtime.
Okay.
So that's another staffing conundrum to get through, is because some people really like the hours. And then when they complain about the hours, you cut them back on hours. And then they're like, we're not making any money. And so you just can't win.
No, that sounds very stressful. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have today.
Okay. I hope I was helpful.
You really were. I thank you so much for your time and your willingness to come out here and do this.
Sure.
Thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you.